Today's message is on Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 through 43, and we'll also hit on chapter 31, verses 6 through 12. In recent weeks, we've been discussing Jacob's dealings in Haran. He went there to flee from his brother Esau. He married multiple brides, had many children, and now he's ready to go home. So let's start at verse 25. I'll be reading from the NIV. And again, we're in Genesis chapter 30. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so I can go back to my homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you." So then, Jacob is ready to leave and go home. Remember, he had only planned to stay in Haran long enough for his brother's head to cool, but since he arrived in Haran, he spent 7 years working for Laban's daughter Leah. He married her, and then he started working another 7 years for Rachel. And then his wives, all four of them, had at least 12 kids, and Leah herself had 6, meaning that even if everyone was concurrently pregnant, then 7 years have surely passed. So his debt for his brides is now paid. In total, Jacob had been there for at least 14 years. He paid everything that they had agreed to. And even that was a bad deal, which Laban achieved through deception. So Jacob had every right to ask his leave to return home. But Laban responds by basically begging Jacob to stay. We read verse 27. But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages, and I will pay them." So, of course, Laban wants Jacob to stay. Now, who wouldn't want Jacob to stay? Jacob has been working for basically nothing for 14 years or maybe more, and Laban has been proudly taking advantage of him. Laban also believes that Jacob is the cause for Laban's own financial success, and it is not unreasonable for him to think this. Jacob has been blessed by Jehovah, and everyone knows it, and Laban, being a swindler and idolater, should expect not to be blessed on his own accord. And of course, we know that what blessing he does have is because he's taken advantage of Jacob. And in fact, Jacob will indicate in just a few verses later that Laban was not at all financially prosperous when he arrived 14 years prior. So, in order to keep Jacob, Laban offers him whatever wage he asks. Now, note that in the NIV, we are told that Laban recognizes Jacob's blessing from Jehovah by divination. Divination is a essentially black magic practice where he's consulting with spirits or performing some kind of ritual to determine things by some sort of spiritual means. Now, the King James Version tells it a little bit differently than the NIV, saying that Laban has learned not by divination but by, quote, experience. The Hebrew word in question is Nachesh. In 7 of 9 occurrences of this word in the Old Testament, the King James translates the word to mean something to do with enchantments or divination. So it isn't entirely clear why they went with experience instead of divination in this case. The meaning of the word appears pretty clearly by the King James' own translation to be divination. Now, we should note plainly that divination is a practice that will be forbidden in the law of Moses, and you can look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 for that. Now, Laban obviously did not have the law, but the practice is inadvisable nonetheless, and probably it didn't actually work anyway. Laban's divination probably only coincidentally hit the right answer or told him something that he expected to find anyway. So, divination practiced by Laban demonstrates something about Laban's character and is not a good idea for us today. Now, Jacob has Laban in a position where Laban is ready to pay anything that Jacob wants. And Jacob has played the fool for Laban long enough. So now he is ready to bring in his own haul. Starting in verse 28, Jacob says, Jacob said to him, "You know how I have worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household?" We see in these verses that Jacob is making the case for needing a good wage. His arguments are, first, that he's been a good worker. Second, that he has made Laban rich. And third, that he has his own large household to feed. He's done a very good job on his salesmanship here. He has presented the need to Laban and has prepared Laban by answering his objections before Laban can even state them. He also has Laban in a position where he's ready to give whatever Jacob asks. So now, having laid the foundation, Jacob presents his plan, and he's going to continue with a good sales pitch here in verse 31. Laban says, "What shall I give you?" he asked. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied. See, there's the good sales pitch. Jacob says, "Oh, you don't have to give me anything," except, of course, for what he's about to ask for. Moving on. "But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They shall be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen." These verses are a point of confusion about exactly what the deal is. Verse 32 in particular, in which Jacob says, "Let me go through all the flocks and remove all the speckled and spotted. They will be my wages." Now, some translations, like the ESV, for instance, and some commentators, have it that Jacob is asking Laban to give him all of the currently living speckled, spotted, or black livestock, while others have it that Jacob is only asking for those that are speckled, spotted, and black that are born hereafter. Now, the confusion hinges on the words, "They will be my wages." So does that phrase, "They will be my wages," refer to the current living colored animals who are removed from the flock, or from future colored animals who are born after the removal? Okay? So just to make sure that we're clear, the first school of thought is that Jacob is going to remove all the speckled and spotted and take them as his own right now, and then any descended from them will also be his. And the second school of thought is that he is going to remove all of those from the fold right now and give them to Laban, and any that are born thereafter become his. Now, evidently, the Hebrew text is a little unclear on this point, but the context seems to suggest that the second solution is correct. Jacob did say, after all, that Laban doesn't have to give him anything, and that would be true concerning things that Laban already has if Jacob is only accepting the animals that will be born hereafter. Now, if Jacob was going to take half of his flock, anything that's speckled, spotted, dark-colored, etc., then we would expect that the plan doesn't make a whole lot of sense with what Jacob was first saying. It also won't make a whole lot of sense with what Laban is about to do, though some say this is just another example of Laban mistreating Jacob. So let's see Laban's response to the plan in verse 34. "Agreed," said Laban. "Let it be as you have said." That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. So then, lending support to the idea that Laban is cheating Jacob, we see that he has taken all of these sheep out of the flock and brought them a three-day's journey away. Some say that this is because Laban is taking the flock away so that Jacob cannot get his pay. Or perhaps he's just following along with Jacob's initial plan by removing all of them and taking them far away. And he's far enough away to ensure that none of his sheep will mate with Jacob's sheep, so that we know that Jacob gets a fair shake. So whatever the case, those in the first camp would have us believe that Laban is dealing with Jacob dishonestly, and the second camp believes that Laban is simply putting Jacob's plan into action. And that, incidentally, is why I've chosen the NIV today, because the NIV, in my mind, tends toward the second camp, as do I. However, we do have another verse which gives some support to the idea that Laban is, again, cheating Jacob. He's already cheated him in the matter with his wives, remember. But that he's cheating again, we have some more evidence for that. We need to consider verses 6 through 8 of chapter 31. So in the next chapter, let's flip over and take a look at that. And actually, I'm going to go through verse 9, verses 6 through 9. Jacob is speaking to his wives, and he says, "You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, 'The speckled ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, 'The streaked ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me." So there we find some evidence that Laban has changed the wages repeatedly. Perhaps he did so by taking the flock away to begin with. We don't know. But in any case, we see the outcome here of what's going to happen with the plan. Regardless, Laban has been thinking that he is going to get a good deal. Jacob is getting all the goats with white specks in their coats, and we expect those to be in a minority. He's also getting all the black sheep. The sheep are normally white, and so, again, Jacob has asked for the minority. Laban knows, like any of us, that Jacob is likely to only have livestock with these minority colors if the herd that he keeps breeds with minority colors. So he thinks that Jacob is going to walk away with nothing, since Laban has taken all the minority colors away and left Jacob with a normal colored flock. However, we should note that since these animals have been all in one flock for so long, they could all be carriers for the recessive color genes, and perhaps as many as 1 in 4 of the offspring could be naturally expected to be minority colors. Of course, it's really just a random process, so the outcome could be anything, and particularly when God is involved, as he is. Now, as for Jacob, he also thinks that he's going to be getting a great deal, and he thinks that because he has a plan to make the livestock in his care breed minority colors. This, of course, is one of the stranger and more eyebrow-raising stories in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. And it's just an example of how Jacob expects to do things by his own power as a swindler instead of trusting in God to bless him. It's also another example of God blessing Jacob for his own purposes in spite of Jacob's scheming. So let's read Jacob's laughable plan. Starting at verse 37. "Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches." All right, so get the picture here. He has some sticks. They're brown sticks. He peels off some pieces of bark, and he has white patches on the brown sticks. They look like a speckled goat's coat. "Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted." Right, so Jacob's idea is that if you're looking at streaked, spotted sticks while you're mating, then you have streaked, spotted offspring. I suppose that might have seemed like a good plan for the scientific knowledge of the day. I think we all realize that it was not a good plan at all. Jacob continues with his plan. Verse 40. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Now, that's also a little confusing. Evidently, he's taking these streaked and spotted animals and setting them off by themselves so that they can mate, and so that they'll continue making streaked and spotted animals. And he's also making the rest of the sheep face the colored animals of Laban whenever they can see them. I guess seeing more specks and spots is going to give them more offspring. Not sure why Laban's animals came back, but in any case, and different translations have slightly slight changes here. You might look at a few of them. But in any case, moving on, thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. So here's what we have that Jacob has been doing. He's putting things in front of everyone's eyes, all these livestock's eyes. When they look at things, they are mating and having animals that are the correct colors. Now, let's note very plainly, I want everyone to be fully aware of this. The scripture records Jacob's actions, right, which is putting the colored sticks in front of the goat's eyes, and it records the outcome of the mating, right, that they're having streaked and spotted. It is noting a correlation between Jacob's actions, and it is also noting the outcome, but it is not ever stating that Jacob's actions are the cause of the outcome. Okay? And by the way, this is an important thing to remember in scientific study of any kind. Correlation does not equal causation. Just because two things look like they go together doesn't mean that they do. We have to always be sure not to leap to conclusions. And, you know, Jacob, if he wanted to really test whether or not his plan worked, he would have needed a control group that was also mating to see whether or not they made as many speckled and spotted as his first group made. Obviously, he didn't have that. So this is not a scientific study. This is Jacob doing something that's very goony, and the scripture does not endorse it as a functional practice. It simply notes that Jacob is doing this at the same time as he's getting the result that he wants. And by the way, I would caution the scientific community, some of your experiments are not going any better, and you might need to think about the results you're getting in some of them. Regardless, we're moving on. Ultimately, in chapter 31, God gives Jacob an explanation demonstrating that it was he, not the sticks, that ensured Jacob got the livestock he wanted. Taking a look at Genesis chapter 31, again, going verses 10 through 12, says Jacob, "In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob,' I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you.'" So God witnessed the way that Laban was treating Jacob, either regarding his wives or his wages or taking the sheep away or what have you. And as a result, God has been giving Jacob what Jacob deserves. He's been giving him the speckled animals. It is as if all of the goats mating are speckled, even though Jacob knows that in his actual reality he has white goats who are mating. God has been tilting the odds in his favor. It is God who gave the speckled lambs, not the speckled sticks. So this is yet another example of Jacob behaving in a strange and unspiritual way, not trusting in God to help him, while God is actually behind the scenes doing all of the work on Jacob's behalf. So, In conclusion, in this passage, we see Jacob doing something silly while Laban takes advantage of him yet again, evidently. And another example of God blessing Jacob regardless. Jacob is ready to go home to Canaan, and having finally worked off his debt for his wives and earned enough wealth for the journey, next week he'll finally start on his trip home.
For those of you who might be listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.